everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Green Room Podcast, where I interview a range of professionals to discuss their experience on how high school students should start working towards their future. For this episode, I decided to change things up a bit. I'll be interviewing three college students about their experience and more. First up is Jack Boris, a junior at Brown and HW alum. So how has your experience at college changed since your first year? And I think you were a transfer student, my sister told me. And if you could just talk about that.
For sure. So I would say I think it definitely changed a lot, obviously because I switched schools, but also just kind of how I viewed college. I think I went in and I thought it was just kind of a stepping stone to get over with and do whatever and eventually end up with like a job because of it. And I think like right now, currently, I look at it as more of like, I would say it's just a time for growth and a time to like figure out who I am and everything. So I think part of that is due to, you know, where I was freshman year. I went to Georgetown, which is kind of the polar opposite of where I am now, Brown. So I think definitely it was like a mixture of the environment there and kind of how I would say like Harvard Westlake primes you to view college, which is like prestige over everything else. And like that really logically transfers to looking at college as a way to climb up the ladder in the rest of your life. And I think that's just like not a good way to look at it. It's definitely like changed my view of like, I guess like a good example would be kind of looking at college, how I look at it now, which is like the experiences you have with friends and like meeting people from all over the world who like you wouldn't meet in high school or meet anyone like them, and like hearing their perspectives on things and, you know, using that growth as like a way to measure success rather than like getting some job or whatever.
Mm. And as you said, you went from Georgetown to Brown. I just want to hear like why you made that decision. And you just said like it's a completely different ball game. I think you like it a lot better, or else you wouldn't have transferred. But just what made you decide it was the right move?
Yeah, I mean, I think like there were a whole host of reasons. I think the one that like is the most formal one is just the academic structure was a little too much. I wanted to explore different things that I was interested in rather than like being forced to take classes I really didn't want to take. I think a good example is like I'm majoring in international relations, but like I really liked all the art history classes I've taken here, and I like took them completely on a whim and ended up really liking them because the department here for that is really good, and it's like not related to my major at all. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have been able to do that at Georgetown. But I think like the bigger reason was like I just really didn't like the people at Georgetown. I thought they were all kind of very like pre-professional and kind of boring, and like mm-hmm. I don't know, I like being around people that I can have really interesting conversations with and that have like interesting things about them or interesting traits or interesting hobbies, and I felt like I didn't really find that. And it was just, you know, it wasn't like being at home or even like Harvard Westlake, where everyone is so, I guess, like for the most part, like dynamic and has something interesting about them. And mm-hmm. I realized I really wanted that in college.
So when you were in high school and you were applying out, did you have that perspective on students at Georgetown? Or I know not every student is like that, but like what made you ultimately decide to go there in the first place?
Quite frankly, the most honest answer to that is it was quote unquote the best school I got into. And that was kind of what I was primed to follow. Mm-hmm. I remember really clearly I was on vacation with my family spring break of senior year and was just getting like rejection after rejection. And so I was pretty much like, oh, I'm just going to end up going to Michigan, which like is very not me because like I just never envisioned myself at a big state school. And then I got into Georgetown and I'm like, oh, it ticks all the boxes. Like I didn't really love it when I toured, but I realized that like college tours are a really bad way to get a real sense of what a school is like. And so I got, like, they send only, like, mail letters. I remember I got, like, an email inviting me to the admitted students weekend, and I was, like, really excited because I'm like, oh, this obviously ticks all the boxes, and it's a really good school. And so I just, you know, kind of committed to it without another thought. And kind of in hindsight, I think I should have definitely looked into that whole process of deciding more because it was a little shallow on my end. But that's kind of how that ended up. happening.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I feel like Harvard-Westlake students, they're just like the best one is the one you go to. So besides like how did you deal with like, I don't know, whatever your dream school was, but because you said like rejection after rejection, I mean, that happens to a lot of students. How did you deal with that? And what advice would you give to high schoolers who don't get into every school they apply to and don't get into their dream school?
I would say I think it's really hard in the moment, and it's kind of the thing that you can't tell someone anything to prepare them that will actually prepare them for it. And I think especially in the case of Harvard-Westlake, it's the first time where a lot of kids are experiencing rejection from something, as foreign as that is. But I think for me what it was, I had my heart set on this one school that in retrospect was just really not a good fit for me at all. I just liked it when I toured pretty much and wanted some sense of certainty. And I remember my dean gassed me up and was like, you're totally getting in. Like, you have the grades for it and the ACT score for it and everything. And so when I didn't, I was surprised, which I think was a huge ego blow. And, you know, in retrospect, I was really arrogant about it. Mm-hmm. But I think it also made me realize and kind of primed me for future experiences with rejection and experiencing that in general in life, because it's, I think it also underscores the fact that at their core, all colleges are almost the same, barring any differences in courses you can take and everything and how strong mm-hmm. certain academic departments are. I guess what I'd say to people applying and people dealing with that is you'll find your people at any school regardless, because I think colleges these days really try to admit people of all different personality types and origins and everything. Mm-hmm. I think I'm living proof of that. I still have a bunch of really close friends from Georgetown who I talk to really regularly. I was in New York a couple weeks ago and got lunch with two of them, who I still talk to every day pretty much. So it's you still will find people at any school, even if you don't like it. And I think that was one of my biggest concerns going in, but it's really one of the things that you have to fully process. And I think you become a lot stronger of a person out of it. And I know in retrospect, had I ended up at the school I had my heart set on at first, I would have been deeply, deeply unhappy.
Yeah. Okay. So, what do you wish you knew, as a high school student applying to colleges? Because you said, I don't know, I feel a lot of times kids overlook stuff. You really liked the tour, but you weren't, aware of what was happening in the school, because tours are, I mean, I've been on a tour before. It doesn't really give you, the whole perspective of the school. So what do you think you wish you knew?
I think what I wish I knew was that there are certain aspects of college that you can't change, the physical location, how many students there are there, access to certain study abroad programs, whatever. And there are certain ones that you can find and change, the people that you get along with, your social life, all of that. There's kind of everything everywhere. And I really got hung up on what I thought schools would be like. And I'm kind of realizing now, you know, I have friends at a lot of the schools that I applied to or wanted to go to that those schools aren't like it at all. I mean, I realized that when I came to Brown, I think I lucked out because my perception of it before going here and now having been here for almost 2 years is so, so different. But I think it's really hard, again, to especially from, you know, when your deans are telling you about schools and you're applying, you're going to the info sessions and these tours. Part of it, I think you have to remember that the schools are trying to present themselves in the best possible light. And, you know, at the same time, there's a balance between that sugar-coated representation of them and, you know, some of the students that go there that might be going through a particularly rough year and they're like, oh, I'm miserable, whatever. I think a good example is one of my best friends goes to UChicago and loves it and is you know, often miserable because she has a lot of work and, you know, people are always UChicago is where fun goes to die, but she thinks she's a really good fit there. And I agree. I mean, I think it's tough to really form an opinion, but as long as you choose a school that is located in a place where you can see yourself living. So for me, that was, I wanted to be in a small city or a medium sized city, and has a student body, a size you're comfortable with. I wanted a mid sized school. The rest will kind of fall into place.
My next guest is Michael Mooring, a senior at University of Southern California. First, I just want to ask you, How is your experience at college, and how has it changed since your first year?
Well, I go to a different school now. I transferred. And I would say that overall it's a lot more stable, just academically and socially. Freshman year definitely takes a lot of figuring out. And so my classes, I feel like I know, I'm happier with what I'm studying, and I'm living off campus. So it's nice to not be in a dorm. And overall, yeah, I'd say it moves a lot slower than my freshman year.
So you went to SMU and you transferred to USC. How was that jump? Because, I mean, they're both big schools. One's like a Southern school and this one's like more LA is like a big part in people's lives when they live here. So how has that like shift been for you?
It was pretty easy for me. I had some friends at USC already. So they introduced me to a lot of people. And I'm all around pretty social, so I didn't have too much trouble making friends. And academically, it was no different school. And it took a little while to learn like the campus and everything. But I think I jumped in and caught right back up.
Yeah, and so you had Trojan transfer for the whole year, correct?
Sorry, what do you mean?
Like, you had, like, the Trojan transfer, not spring, but, like, you had, like, 1 year, and then you submitted.
Oh, yeah. So I came in the fall of my sophomore year.
Did you think you would, like, stay at SMU if you enjoyed it? Or was it always, like, no, I'm going to try and go to USC?
So I wanted to enjoy SMU, and I did. Like, looking back, I had a great time, and... I think in the moment I was pretty focused on like USC was my dream school and I was obviously really upset I didn't get in. So I definitely had that in the back of my mind. And, when it came time to make the decision, like I knew I wanted to go to USC. And I like California. I'm from California. So that was a factor. So I wouldn't say I was set on going to USC. But like I knew it was the right decision for me.
Okay, so as you said, like, you didn't exactly get into your dream school in, like, the first, like, acceptance letter. How do you, like, what advice would you give high schoolers who don't get into their dream school? And, like, how would you help them get over that bump?
I would say you can always transfer. Like me. But if that's not an option, just make the best of wherever you end up, because there are a lot of great schools, and I don't think it's as important as people make it out to be, especially at like very academic schools like Harvard Westlake, where it seems like it's the end of the world. And yeah, like I could have had a great 4 years at SMU, and I don't think I realized that initially just because I was so caught up in like the name of USC and like this feeling that I deserved to go there, if that makes sense. Like it was definitely an ego thing that looking back on doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. So that like makes complete sense. What do you like, how can you talk more about like the ego thing and like how that has changed since over the years? Like, I feel like you found your place at school and it, especially with what you're studying, but could you just explain a little bit more on that?
Yeah, so I'm for people that don't know me, which is everyone, I'm from the Bay Area, like near Palo Alto in California, which I'd say is similar to Harvard Westlake in that it's like high pressure, a lot of expectations. And I kind of allowed those expectations to get the best of me. So like I came in to college studying business and like I wanted to go to USC. I love USC. I'm very happy I transferred. Like, obviously, if you think there's a better fit for you, you should go there. But what I'm saying is, like, expectations can get the best of you. And, like, it's hard to think for yourself sometimes when you're not even sure what that is, which a lot of people don't know freshman year. Like, I didn't know.
So after that, like, you realized all this. Like, what has been your main takeaway from being at USC, and what do you think makes it so special?
Okay, my main takeaway about USC specifically, or
just about like college in general, but I mean that will relate to USC. Yeah.
I would say it's cliche, but time flies. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think for anyone graduating or like next year, like you'll look back on high school and be like, wow, that zoomed by. And it's true. Mm-hmm. So, my main takeaways are that I have a lot of great friends that I'm really grateful for. And that are going to remain my friends. And just to put yourself out there and to do as much as you can without overextending yourself. Like, I think it's easy to get caught up in a routine or just to like allow yourself to just hang out like on the couch or whatever. But, there are a lot of great experiences to be had out there. Mm-hmm. And, try not to leave any regrets behind.
Yeah,
I guess I know that's all pretty general, but that's what I would say.
Yeah. And then like on another topic, when you were applying to school, is there something that like you overlooked, like when you were applying? I know some kids struggle with like tours. They sugarcoat everything and you don't really know exactly where you're going to fit in. Is there something in particular that you overlooked when applying?
I would say weather super important. Mm-hmm. Especially at least for me, like weather affects my mood a lot. And, like if you don't like the cold, but East Coast sounds fun. It definitely could be, I just know I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I just would keep that in mind, and definitely the environment, like the city around you or like what's located where. Like I have some friends who, are in like, not the middle of nowhere, I don't want to say that, but there's less activities.
Yeah.
And it's just harder to get to. And that's another thing I would say, piece of advice is to like really explore the area around you. Like I was in Dallas for a year and we would go to the same spots every time and like,
yeah.
Like not adventure as much as we should. Like I really don't know much about Dallas and that's a regret, I think.
Yeah, and it's like different at USC because you're probably going to the beach sometimes and like all the different places around.
Yeah, but yeah, back to things that are important to look for. Size is pretty important, like how many people you want. And it's hard to know that before you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like SMU's on the smaller side and it's like 8,000 kids. USC is like quadruple that, and I definitely like being at a bigger school. It's not too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I didn't find it overwhelming, at least. And like smaller schools, you definitely get familiar with most faces. So it depends if you want more of like that sense of like intimate community or not.
And lastly, do you have any advice for high school students preparing to go to college, like juniors who are just starting to kind of formulate their application, and like what do you think is the best piece of advice you could give a high schooler?
Try not to stress. Rejections happen a lot.
Yeah.
So keep an open mind, and like I said, like try to participate, try to join a club or two, because that stuff helps you figure out what you want to do. That looks good on resumes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say for work, like academic, like schooling wise, realize some weeks you're just going to have to grind, like midterms pile up on like, or more so than they do in high school. So you got to compromise like social life or activities. That's what I would say.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming and thank you for doing this.
Yeah, no, of course, Maxine.
For my last interview, I'll be speaking with Zoe Young, a junior at the University of Pennsylvania. So the first question I just want to ask, so you're a junior now, and since you were a freshman, how has your experience changed at Penn, and do you view college differently than you did?
Yeah, so I grew up in San Francisco, so going to Penn was already a huge stretch. I knew that so many people in my class were going to be from New York and New England and East Coast. So that was kind of the first jump. So I think freshman year it was a lot of like kind of like integrating myself within some communities that like were already, you know, intact. especially with like New York schools. And like, I think a huge part of freshman year is like wanting to make friends and like establishing yourself, and like you really want to be popular, and there's kind of those superficial things that kind of drive your freshman year. Maybe you're not, like, I was super passionate about my journalism classes and English, but I think looking back on it, I would even say by, like, start of sophomore year, like, those worries kind of completely fade away. Like, mm-hmm. you're well-integrated, you've met people that, you know, care about you. I always say that, like, being from California is being, like, international at Penn, just because, I mean, people think it's crazy. I'm from San Francisco, and it's really funny. But I think just, you know, integrating yourself, and now I really felt like I have a home here. Mm-hmm. And people that I love. Freshman year was a little afraid of, like, making relationships with my professors. And now, like, my professors are people that I could see mentoring me for years and years. So I think that I was really definitely scared freshman year on how I could, you know, make friends. I didn't know anyone going into Penn. Yeah. But I think, you know, through putting myself out there, joining clubs on campus. I know that sounds cliche, but I think taking that step to realize that everyone, you know, is in your boat, whether they came from a school of like 15 different people coming to whatever college from that school, or like, you know, I was like a singleton from California. So I think realizing that everyone's in your boat and wants to make friends and meet new people, and everyone's anxious, is definitely something that like helped me. And looking back on it, I have so many friends that, you know, I didn't even know existed freshman year. Yeah. So I think that knowing that your friend group and your like freshman year fall friend group especially is going to completely alter and change. I mean, I was best friends with my roommate, but you know, a lot of the girls that I was friends with freshman year, I mean, I see them around, but I think people become friends kind of out of like comfortability and accessibility, and then when you know take classes and you're going out and meeting so many other people, you kind of build your tribe that way.
Yeah. So did you ever have like a problem creating friends like when you were a freshman? I mean, I know a lot of kids struggle with like picking roommates and just finding their place. How do you think that experience was for you?
Yeah, so I actually did something so funny, but I really recommend it. I, you know, once you are accepted, I was like in this Penn Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like going through some of the girls because I was accepted early decision. So that pool was kind of smaller. And I found my current roommate now. She's from New York. And I literally just messaged her. The awkwardest message, it was like, hi, I'm Zoe. I'm from San Francisco. We're both going to Penn. We should, you know, connect or something like that. And we still make fun of it to this day. But like just reaching out and making that like literally like 10 second Facebook messenger changed my life, because she ended up becoming my roommate, one of my best friends in the whole world, and someone that's going to definitely be at my wedding. Mm-hmm. So I think that having her as an anchor really helped my freshman year. It was like a built-in best friend. And I think I was really homesick. Like freshman fall, I really missed San Francisco. The weather here kind of triggered me in ways. Yeah. And I just think like acclimating to, you know, like I said before, like such an East Coast type of school was something that like I had to adjust to a little bit, but it also pushed me in ways that like allowed for growth that I'm so grateful for. And I really couldn't imagine going to school, anywhere else now, but I think in those times of like sitting in dorm rooms and with like everyone from the East Coast, or like with a bunch of internationals and being like that only Californian in the room, I think I had to cultivate like the confidence to be like, I actually have like so much to offer to these people, like just because I don't come from like where they come from or know who they know. Like I'm just as much, you know, part of my friend group or, you know, any club you join or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to like high schoolers applying to college or just basically going to school now? They're seniors in high school. I mean, you talked about your friends and just like your professors and how you now have connections with them. but what would you say to a senior about to go to college?
I would say to definitely take advantage. I know, like, Zoom, it's just crazy. So I think, like, making those initial introductions, like, mm-hmm. you know, if people follow you on social media and they have, like, your college in their bio, that happens all the time. I think taking that extra step, if they seem like someone you would, you know, want to get to know, like, DM them. Like, it's just, like, take that step. I know people think it's, like, awkward and embarrassing and scary, but like everyone wants to be DM'd by someone they're going to school with. Like they're in that kind of same boat. And that kind of changed the course of my entire experience in college. But along those lines, I think just like, you know, asserting yourself and joining clubs. And something that was huge for me was my first semester at Penn was asking literally everyone that I met to like lunch or dinner or coffee. I think that changed so many of my relationships because it's so different than, you know, you're going to meet people at parties and you're going to be like, oh, hey, and meet them that way. But I think people really appreciate that extra step that's like, oh, I saw you on Saturday night, but like, do you want to actually sit down to coffee and get to know each other? And I think that was something that really helped me build kind of my friends here at Penn, and beyond, not even a freshman year thing. Like I still do that to this day. Like if I'm in a class with someone that, seems cool and I want to get to know them, like just kind of putting your own insecurities aside and being like, I bet this freshman would love to get, you know, coffee with another freshman. Mm-hmm. And like that goes for professors too. I think just going to office hours and cultivating those relationships because high school in my high school was really small. Like I was really close with my teachers and I was scared in big lectures and some of my seminars, I wouldn't have that, but teachers are so responsive. If you shoot them an email and you're like, I would love to, you know, go over so-and-so, and, you know, maybe even have a coffee while we're at it. I think, like, those little things actually go so far. And it's all about just kind of pushing yourself to do it. And then it just becomes, you know, habit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now as we're talking about just, like, applying and getting into colleges, what's something that you overlooked when you were applying to college? I know you went to like 14 tours before you saw Penn. Yeah. But what is, like, your main thing that you overlooked?
Yeah, so I think the reason that I went to 14 different schools and like my parents still hate me for it was because there was such an emphasis on applying to colleges of like what you wanted to major or minor in. And I just feel like it's ridiculous that colleges are even asking seniors in high school to like, you know, figure out what they want to mm-hmm. like study at their school, because I feel like so much of freshman year is getting to know yourself and like what you're passionate about. It's about taking tons of classes that like may not, you know, may not be your major and whatnot. But I definitely think I overlooked and put way too much weight on like the major minor thing. And, went to so many schools where, you know, I thought I wanted to major in journalism. Like obviously now I'm a cinema studies and English major, so couldn't be like farther from that. But I think I went to so many schools that, like, you know, were top in journalism when I should have been going to other schools. Like, Penn was honestly one of the last schools I saw, just because I was putting such an emphasis on schools that specialized in what I thought I wanted to major in. Yeah. And I just feel like that, you know, was kind of a waste of time on my end. And I think it's just because, you know, the Common App just shouldn't even have that. On their application. So I think that, like, don't worry if you're a senior in high school mm-hmm. and you have no freaking idea what you want to major or minor in, because I didn't. And it's BS when people say, oh, I applied to so-and-so school and listed blank as my major. Like, that will inevitably change unless you're, like, you know, one of a thousand.
So how did you kind of transfer into your now new majors, English and cinema studies? Like, when did you know that it was you needed a change?
Yeah, so I spent my freshman fall taking, like, loading myself up with journalism classes. Mm-hmm. And I kind of realized right off the bat that it was something that I thought, you know, in theory that I wanted to do. And I've always loved writing. But then when I started writing, and all my teachers would say, you know, in their comments, like, we need this to be, like, strictly objective, strictly factual, and obviously, like, I'm an expressive, emotional person with opinions, and I just realized, like, right off the bat there that I kind of fantasized and idolized this, you know, my major, quote-unquote, that in reality was just not something that was right for me. And I've always been interested in film and television. And Penn's not a school that you'd think, you know, has a robust program for that, which is really interesting. Now being like a cinema major, I love it. I took a screenwriting class the beginning of my sophomore year. It was definitely a jump. I was like, I don't know if I'm even going to like this. What if I drop it? I ended up falling in love, and that professor, you know, my first professor, she's now my life mentor. Wow. So I think that kind of speaks to, you know, how you should keep putting yourself out there and not limiting yourself to classes that, you know, you're supposedly supposed to like just because, you know, you applied to a certain school with that, you know, intended major.
So when you were in, like, high school, do you wish... Well, were you aware that you could change your major and, like, it could be very flexible once you got into college?
Yeah, like, that was definitely something that, like, I knew because we, at Penn, for example, we don't, like, declare our majors until end of sophomore year. So then I'm like, why are you even having people, you know, like, put their intended major when they're, you know, 18 years old and by the time they, like, will submit it, they'll be 20, 2 years of, like, huge growth. But I definitely knew that. And I mean, my high school, I took a bunch of journalism classes and loved it. I think when I was, you know, in Philadelphia and sourcing, you know, different restaurants and current events and such like that, I kind of just realized that, you know, it wasn't what I wanted to do and major in, and that I was kind of interested in other things. If that like answers your question.
Yeah, that does. Okay. So just for my last question, do you have any other like advice you would give to a high schooler or anyone who's like, especially going to Penn because you've been there all four years, you're going to be there all 4 years. Basically just like, what's the best piece of advice you would give to someone like me?
I think the best piece of advice I could, I mean, there's a lot, but something I could probably offer is that, you know, I didn't love my high school experience. It wasn't something that, you know, I don't look back and say, oh, the best 4 years of my life. Mm-hmm. So I think regardless of if you loved high school or if you didn't, like it really only goes up from there. And like, you're going to meet people you never even realized you met. Like I never thought that I could have best friends from Panama and Colombia and, you know, London, all of these different places. I think that being open to the unknown and the like endless amount of possibilities, but then like putting yourself in positions to, you know, explore those is something I would definitely recommend. And like, no one knows what they're doing. Like everyone goes into college. It doesn't matter who they know. If they have a sibling at the school, everyone is confused, just wants to, you know, be loved and find friends, and also study. Cause that's a part of it. But I would definitely, you know, my greatest advice is to just like go with the flow and to, you know, let your path kind of pave its way for you. And to not worry if like you're not adjusting right off the bat. Like, I don't think I really felt that I had a place at this school until like my second semester of freshman year when that's after, you know, maybe like 6 months of kind of going through the motions. And it doesn't happen immediately. But when it does, like you'll know, and it's like such a gratifying feeling to feel like, you know, you have a place and a home, at this school. But I would say like, continue to want to get to know yourself and like what you're passionate about. And just kind of having faith that, you know, wherever you go, if it was your dream school or if it was your second choice or maybe farther down on your list, like it's up to you to make the best of that experience, and you will. Like wherever you go, it's not about like where you go. You know, everyone always says this, but it's really like what you do there. Because even people that go to their dream schools, like, you know, don't really make the most of it, and don't have those like enriching experiences. So I think that like just trusting that like your path, it will pave itself for you. and to definitely, you know, take advantage of the time you still have in high school, and to, you know, stay in the present as much as you can, even though it's, you know, it's exciting that in, you know, a year you'll be somewhere else, maybe even in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for all this information. It's going to be very useful. And thank you for coming on my podcast today.
Oh my gosh.
You the best. And thank you so much again.
Thanks so much, Max.
Once again, I would like to thank Jack Boris, Michael Mooring, and Zoe Young for speaking on their experience at college and advice they would give to high schoolers applying. Be sure to check out more of my episodes and always stay tuned for more.